X and Anderson. Welcome today to the Principal Podcast. I'm absolutely excited to have Tyler Tote with me today. Tyler is a rock star. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. He's a Christ follower. He's a husband. He's a number one dad. He's just got wonderful, great. I first found Tyler on X, and he has some of the best content out there for dads, for people who are looking to have a good life, for people who are looking to stay fit. And I'm so grateful he's been willing to be on the podcast. Tyler, thank you for joining us today.
Brother, it's an honor to be here, man. I was super fired up for this one. I'll be honest, I'm in a season where I've said no to like probably 100 podcasts in a row because it's summer break, the kids are here, and when you invited me on, I'm like, you got that kind of energy too. So I was real fired up to come on here and chat with you, man. So humbled and honored to be on, man. Thanks.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to have you on here. So one of the things that you and I are aligned on is this kind of mission that we need to have good dads. And tell me your thoughts on that.
Yeah, man, I was blessed. I'll just say number one, man. My dad, and I always am so grateful and I try and honor him. And I always tell him I just want to build on your legacy. So my dad is real open about it too. He swapped an alcohol addiction for a fitness addiction when I was really little. So I was maybe one or two. And he was not a very good husband to my mom, I don't think, those first few years, and did some pretty bad things where he'd, say I'm going out with friends and not come home and things like that, and couldn't hold a job and things like that. And he just was living a not really great life. And then man, he kind of had a mentor and a couple people knocked some sense into him in his mid-20s. And then the only dad I've known, because he made this switch when I was one or two, is just on fire, bro. He coached all my sports. I vividly remember being like 8 years old, him throwing me on his back and sprinting up hills and like training for races. And today he's almost 70. He's about to hit 100,000 miles run in his life. He's been tracking it now for like 40 some years. He's just an absolute beast, and all my friends call him the legend. Because even when we were in high school playing basketball, he was the only dad that would run full court with us for hours, right? He was just that guy, and then he'd go grill his steaks afterwards. And so, I've had a great example of that. And sadly, I wasn't really following it, to be honest. Our first couple years of marriage, I was kind of living like a watered down version too. My wife and I weren't seeing eye to eye on things. I just had this sort of victim mentality. And it was one night, man, just on my knees, I decided I'm going to change my life. At this point, I was 20 pounds overweight. I hadn't been to the gym in 2 years. I was working a job I didn't really like and just kind of going in this other direction. And I'll never forget it. I was 34 and a half years old, man. And I literally just got on my knees and said, this is not the direction I'm going to go. There's a better version of me that's going to come out every single day. And I just made some rules for myself. I'm getting up at 5 a.m. Man, I'm going to open my Bible first thing. I'm going to hit the gym every day, whether I feel like it or not. I'm going to meal prep and stop eating garbage. I'm going to take my wife on dates and bring passion back and have a lot of fun with her and be that dad that's super intentional. So just this big shift, man, about 7-ish years ago now. And I kind of haven't looked back, man. And I never used social media before then. I just kind of started tweeting randomly about some of the things I was doing. Fast forward a few years later, man, we got like, a quarter of a million followers plus, and a really awesome community there, and just been blessed to grow that and kind of have a little influence in that space too, man. So it's kind of how it all started, man.
That's awesome. To see and to hear you say, hey, you just got on your knees and said, hey, we're going to make some changes and then make commitments to yourself. They say one of the biggest things you can do is just make these little commitments to yourself, like getting up at 5, going to the gym, whether or not you feel like it or not. And things start to change when you make those important but little decisions, but you do them whether or not you feel like it or not.
Absolutely, man. And I think that's the big misconception. And maybe somebody watching this today that's thinking, I'm stuck and it's just too much or it's too big. Man, most of us don't have a Moses burning bush moment, right? Like, it would be wonderful if there was this big magical transformation. But I think for most of it, it's the little daily wins. And I talk with that guys all the time and just stack wins. Momentum is so powerful. Like, why do you not go to the gym? Because you haven't gone in a few years. So it's just normal now to snooze, to sleep in, to stay up late watching Netflix. So just break those patterns and just say, man, tonight I'm opening my Bible for the first time. I'm gonna read one chapter. You know what? Tomorrow, whether I feel like it or not, 5 a.m., man, I'm getting up and I'm gonna hit a few wins. I'm gonna chug a water, right? Something I'm grateful for. Hit the gym, hit a walk, whatever that might be. And once you start to build that momentum, I've met very few people in life, if any, that have like started going to the gym again and they're consistent and they're losing weight and they look better, they feel better more, and they're like, oh, I don't like this. I want to go back. So you just got to take those first steps and kind of get off the sideline, get into the arena of life, I would say. Start stacking those wins, and everything's different then.
Yeah, I like that. You know, and you're talking like this reminds me of something Stephen Covey said. Stephen Covey, he had this, he was at a conference once. Somebody came up to him after the conference and said, "You know, I don't love my wife anymore." And it kind of caught him off guard, like, you know, who says that to you? And he looked at the guy and said something like this. He said, "Well, then love her." And the guy said, "Well, I don't love her. I've fallen out of love with her. We have three kids. We're probably heading for a divorce." And Stephen Covey looked at the guy and goes, "Well, if you don't feel like it, that would be a good reason to love her." And the guy goes, "Well, how do you love someone you don't love? I just told you I've fallen out of love." And he said, "My friend, love is an action, not a feeling. It's something you do. But here's the kicker: if you do the action, the feeling will follow." So basically, he's saying, you know, you don't wait till you feel like loving your wife to show her love. And you don't wait to feel like to exercise. I mean, if you just sit there on the couch and wait for the feeling to come in, it's never going to come. You got to get off the couch when you don't feel like it, and then eventually you're like, man, this feels good. Thoughts on that?
That's absolutely right. I have this saying, and I say this to a lot of guys in my men's group. I'm like, look, even losers win when winning is easy or you feel like it, right? Like, you know, you want to write the book or start the side hustle or the course, right? So what happens? You get this dopamine hit and you think about how great this could be, and you're really excited for a week, and so you work on it. But then the nitty-gritty heart hits, man, and you don't feel like getting up again. And so many people repeat this pattern. Or I go to the gym for 2 weeks. But dude, I only lost like a pound and now I'm not really seeing the results. So you stop. And it's like, man, again, anybody can go when it's ideal, when it's easy. I use this show as an example. You ever see the show The Biggest Loser?
Yeah, I mean,
Way
I've
back in
heard
the day.
about it. Haven't watched much of it, but I've heard about it. Yes.
Yeah, I didn't really watch it back then, but I read this stat on it, man, where it was some crazy number, like almost 90% of the people that ended up losing all this weight put it back on when they went back home within a couple years. And I equate that to, well, when you had the best personal trainers, the best nutritionist, your whole life was about just every day. You had 8 hours to get in shape and every day to rest and hydrate properly. But then you went back to real life and things weren't easy. Well, you didn't fix up here, right? Because that's the most important thing. And I joke with guys all the time, like, look, I'm about to be 42. The reason I'm an in-shape 42-year-old dad is because I have about 100 to 125 workouts a year that suck. They're not good. Like, to be honest, man, if you watch me at the gym today, it's not like I was setting PRs. I didn't sleep great last night. I had a fun date with my wife. We were up a little too late. For whatever reason, man, the alarm went off at 5. I didn't feel like getting up. I still went and had a pretty subpar workout, but I didn't put up a zero, right? I still went. I have more energy now. I feel better because I went. And again, that's just so stacking wins. Like, nobody always feels like it. That's motivation is such a misconception, I think, in that way.
Let me tell you this. So you're one of these great fitness guys who knows how to stay fit, 42, fit as can be, have some great content on X and other channels, I'm sure. But would you agree that it affects every area of life? So if I can stay fit, it also affects my marriage. It also affects my employment because I'm keeping these little commitments to myself to have, you know, to have workouts that aren't that great, but in the long run, they're really pushing the needle forward. Would you agree that it affects every area of life to stay fit?
100%. Now, I would say this. Look, I worked a corporate job for 6.5 years. I wasn't super passionate about it, to be honest. I was a bank manager. I kept getting promoted and promoted. I didn't know a lot of the like policy and the nitty-gritty, but dude, I was a really in shape guy. I think, what does that say about you? Number one, you're really disciplined. You can delay gratification. You're reliable. You're consistent. So all these areas spill over into every other area of life, right? And then I would also argue that, like, look, this isn't popular to say, this will offend some people. I don't think you can be a great dad and leader of your home if you're obese. Now, you don't need to have an 8-pack, you don't need to deadlift 600 pounds or be on it, but you do need to set an example for your children because if we're really honest, every dad out there would say, I hope someday that my kids are healthy. Because what does that mean, man? That means more confidence, less chance of disease, less, you know, like, oh, you're gonna live longer, you're gonna have more energy. We would all want our children to have these things. Well, far more is caught than is taught, right? Like, I give the example now, I'm in shape partly because my dad changed his life when he was in his 20s. What if my dad didn't? And I just witnessed my dad drinking alcohol and sitting on the couch every night and watching TV. Do you think I'd be the way I am right now? And then how would my kids right now are very in shape? My daughter at 9 years old did a 70,000 steps in a day challenge with me. So she walked 70,000 steps at 9 years old. Why does she do that? Like, she sees me doing stuff like that, right? So I think the dad has to set the tone for the house, and our kids need to see us. And I think that's one of the saddest things I see is a lot of the dads nowadays say, "Oh, well, back in high school, I," and they tell these glory stories, right? And it's like, man, I think your kids should witness you being great and striving to be better and striving to set these challenges and being healthy and in shape. And they're gonna catch way more of that than you sitting on the couch saying, "It's important to be in shape. I used to be in shape." Which one is more effective, right?
That's exactly right. I really like that. And that example is pretty much the foundation. You can teach, but if your example's not there and it's not lining up, then how much influence do you really have, right?
That's right. Even if, like, dude, if I go to a doctor and they're obese, I'm not going back. If I went to a personal trainer and they were obese, I'm not going back. If I go
Right.
to a dentist and they have plaque all over their teeth, I'm probably not going back, right? And so I think it's important that if we're going to preach this message, we have to live it. And I think, you can talk about, I don't really know. I didn't have a growth strategy on Twitter. I didn't show up to try and go viral all the time. But I think the one thing I have on Twitter is, dude, I post receipts. I've met 2,000 people offline probably now because I live in Vegas and people are always coming here for, I'm like, meet me at the gym. And I've probably had workouts with hundreds of people that have just flown in and we'll take hikes. We'll go to the gym. I'm meeting another one Sunday. We're going to go do a hike at Red Rock. And it's just, if you are who you say you are, you post receipts and you sort of live the life. Man, I think that's attractive to a lot of people because we see a lot of stuff online now where people are just drink water, go to the gym, do that. Well, you got to live it, man. You got to breathe it. You got to be that person. Otherwise, like, I kind of don't really respect your message a lot, to be honest. If you're not living it, I don't think you believe it.
Right. And I heard, if there's, I think there's this pyramid of influence, and the bottom part of the foundation of the pyramid is my example. Like, what am I doing? Right. And then the next piece, I think, is like my relationship. Like, if I have a good relationship with you and I'll listen to you and we'll talk together. And then the last part, the very tip of the pyramid is what I actually say. So, right. So like if I'm doing the example and I have a good relationship, then what I say matters. But if all I do is say something, but I'm not doing it and I don't have a good relationship, then what I say just kind of doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah,
And I think,
definitely. 100%.
go ahead, sorry.
Oh, I was just saying that,
What
yeah,
did you
fall
say?
off
Sorry.
my ears. 100%, man. Sorry, you froze there for a half second.
Yeah, no, I don't. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully the video quality is here good. But yeah, I love what you said, that people come in to see you post receipts, you show what you're doing. So important. And I think also, from a long-term perspective, having that ability to work out, you might give you another 10 or 20 years with your kids, with your grandkids, maybe your great-great-grandkids, because you took care of yourself today and you didn't get some of those health problems that we see so many people getting later in life, where they're getting type 2 diabetes or they're getting cancer
Absolutely.
or they're getting heart problems or whatever it is, because you did the little things today that you didn't feel like doing, right?
Right, man. One of my favorite tweets I ever saw was like 5 or 6 years ago. I still remember to this day. This guy named Steven Man's Life. I love his account, man. He's a great dude, a lawyer out of Kentucky. And he said every healthy meal is an investment into your kids and grandkids. And every time you go to the gym when you don't feel like it is an investment into your kids and grandkids. And dude, again, I'll just use my parents as an example. They're coming up on 70, and dude, they're flying out here in a few weeks. They'll go hiking with my kids. They'll get on the floor and wrestle with them. My parents every single day wake up and they go to the gym, and then they take a walk or a bike ride together. They eat very healthy, and I see my dad's told me, some of his peers that have actually kind of made fun of him a little bit throughout the years, like, what are you going running for again? This or that. They haven't aged as well, man. And some of them are very restricted in what they can do. And then you talk about, nothing's guaranteed, right? Like, we could go out and get hit by a car today, but why not tip the odds in your favor and say, like, look, man, every study's going to show you if you're healthier, you're going to live longer. So, why not tip the odds in your favor? And if you do really love your family the way that every guy is probably going to say, I do, I would push back a little bit if you are obese and not living in a certain way. Because, man, if you want to be around them and you want to influence them the way you can, again, you have to live that message.
I love that. I love that. A lot of the viewers here on our, and the listeners to our podcast here know that passionate about helping dads. And one of the things that we're seeing in our country and our civilization, Tyler, is this breakdown of the family. So what's happening is families are breaking apart. And I talked to a policeman recently, and the policeman said 90% of the people that he takes to jail don't have dads in the home or not functional dads. And I think let's talk a little bit about this. A wise man said something like this: if we don't fix marriages and families, everything else we do will be like straightening deck chairs on the Titanic. In other words, some people think, well, the government can fix it because we can get more of this social program or that social program, or more, this politician will save us or that politician will save us. But the truth is, if our families are rotting, if they're breaking apart, that very fabric of society is not there. And one of the reasons that I wanted you to have to have your awesome voice here on our podcast, Tyler, was because you stand for good marriages, you stand for good families, you stand for being a good example as a dad. I'd like to hear your thoughts on how important dads are to our nation, to our society, or what your thoughts are on what I've just said.
Yeah, I think every statistic across the board would prove exactly what you just said. Do your graduation rates, your college rates, your earned income rates throughout your life, keeping kids out of jail or the system or whatever. If a dad is present, there's literally like every stat, or you can't find one stat where they say toxic masculinity or whatever, right? That's just the opposite. The presence of masculinity makes everything better. So, I always tell dads and everybody who will listen, if you really want to change the world, really want to do the best thing you can for humanity, it's love your wife, let your kids see that every day, and be that strong guy that's leading your family. That's literally the best thing you can do to change the world. I think a big problem with this, and a lot of guys don't want to talk about this today, but a lot of the strong male voices we have out there don't preach this. There's, people that are saying you should have four and five wives, or shouldn't even marry them. You should just have a bunch of children with people and go around and party and do your thing. And I just think, man, I don't know. I've gotten a chance to do some pretty cool things in my life. I'll just say this. I was a professional poker player in my 20s and lived a pretty fast life in Vegas and nightclubs and parties and DJs and all the crazy things, right? And gotten to do some cool things. There's nothing better for me than just, dude, reading a book to my children at night and having your kid hug you and be like, I love you, daddy. Hey, thanks, Daddy, for this. It doesn't even come close. And so, when you're talking about how do you be fulfilled as a guy, dude, there's nothing better than leading a home, than having your wife like look at you and say, "I trust you, I respect you." And me and my wife are coming up on 11 years of marriage, and man, we have a date tonight. We go on dates 3 times a week. We have a sitter come in. Our kids know that. Then mommy and daddy love each other. We want our time. We're man and wife, not just mom and dad. We're man and wife. We love each other. We go out and laugh and dance and take hikes and do fun things together, right? Because we love each other. We want to grow that relationship. I think
And what a great example, just interjecting. What a great example, because you're actually building their marriages in the future so they can have a great marriage, because you're showing that, hey, mom and dad take time to build their own marriage. And when they get older, they'll remember that and hopefully follow in your example, which is the most powerful way to teach. I had to interject that. So keep going. Sorry, Tyler.
That's the best point, though, because we overheard our daughter was in the loft one day when me and my wife were getting ready for a date, and she had a friend over, our little neighbor. And we overheard the neighbor girl say, "Why does your mom and dad leave a lot? Why sometimes I come over to play, why do you have a babysitter come a couple times, And my daughter's answer was, "They really love each other a lot. They want to hang out. They really want to hang out together. They really love each other." And we thought we're doing something right. At the time, I think she was 8 years old. And you're right. They're seeing the way you do that, right? And so I think as a guy, you got to take that on as a responsibility. Your kids are always learning from you. Whether you're sitting on the couch and kind of vegging out and we're all watching TV together, or you're saying, "Hey, let's get up and go on a little scavenger hunt outside, or take a little walk, or go play this, or go play that." Everything you do, your kids are just sponges. And so that's a big responsibility as a guy. It's also an awesome opportunity. Even the way that you treat people when your kids are around. Like, I'm really extroverted, so this is really easy, but man, my kids now will go up and talk to anybody. They'll go give a compliment to a stranger. Why do they do that? They've seen dad do that their whole life.
Awesome.
We see a lady watering her yard and we just stop and hey, your yard looks beautiful. That's awesome. Thanks. Like, it's just little things like that. I think we have a chance. And you want to talk about changing the world, I believe that's how we can best do it. Our kids see that and then they go on to do those things too.
I love that. I love how you said to lead. And there's this new phrase that's come out recently that you said, talked about toxic man masculinity. And the truth is, masculinity is what we need. It's what, what really should happen anytime a man walks into a room or it shows up anywhere, a dad, everyone in the room should be safer because he's there, right? I mean, just the very fact that a good man like Tyler Toad or another good dad out there walks into the room, that room is safer and better protected. I say there's three things dads need to do. They need to protect and provide and preside, which is lead, right? Which is leading their home. And it's a good thing. And we need to change the narrative on that in our nation. We need to change that. Hey, being a masculine, good, fit, strong, brave, kind, awesome man is a great thing. And let our children know that that's a good thing.
Absolutely, man. And dude, to your point too, and they interviewed one of these monsters. I watched this a couple of years ago. It was a child predator, and they had him locked up, and they did an interview, and they asked him like, "How did you pick from the kids? Like, was it a certain skin color or an age or what it was?" And his answer, dude, it still gives me chills when I say it to this day. He said, "I would watch and make sure there was no strong dad around. Those were the kids I would pick. I would never target a child who had a father that was there and present who could hurt me. I targeted the children who didn't." And it's like, man, that always stuck with me and hit me. I remember watching that interview, and it's like, talk about getting motivation to go to the gym. Talk about motivation to want to go to a boxing class and a jujitsu and all the, like talk about, those things, man, getting proficient with firearms or whatever dads need to do, And again, to your point, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think this is seen so well in gym culture. Every gym I've ever gone into, who are the nicest guys that are the most willing to help? It's these jacked dudes that have been there for 20 years, man. They could kill you in 1 second, They're jacked out of their mind, right? And they're always the nicest guys. I think that holds true like 99.9% of the time for anybody who's ever been to the gym. When I was a beginner and starting out, I weighed 149 pounds. I knew nothing what I was. I couldn't even bench the bar. And it was a guy named Colby who looked like a Greek god and another D1 football player who took me under their wing and encouraged me and helped me. And that's what masculinity is. I was a younger guy. They helped me come up and showed me the ropes for a year or so. I got to lift with those guys every day. And that's who kind of showed me how to do it. And I think that's what we're supposed to do as men. We should have people that we're always helping and coaching and building up. We should have friends that are about our level that we're sharing life with. And we should have mentors that are teaching us. And I think if every guy could sort of have those levels in his life, man, the world would be a much better place.
Absolutely. I love that. And you're doing your part to change the narrative on this. The good, strong, awesome, good men are needed. I had somebody from another organization on my podcast just in the last little while. And she had on her podcast, she had, I guess it was Tucker Carlson on her podcast. And he was saying, where are the men? Like, where are they? We need big, strong, good men, something like that, to step up and protect our kids. And so, I saw that post that you had on X about, being some, the predators actually will target kids who don't have big, strong dads there to protect them. And so, gosh, for any of you men out there who are wondering whether you need to be a part of your kid's life, be a part of your kid's life. Our nation needs you. Our civilization needs you. We need a movement now, and I think you're on the same movement here, Tyler. We need a movement to have dads know that they are needed, that their masculinity is awesome, to be strong and fit and protectors and leaders and lead our children and our families and our nation to good things.
Absolutely, man. The narrative for too long, like, look, can you name like one super fit, the dad that you just described? Can you name one of those dads on TV in the last couple decades? It's like Homer Simpson, Hank Hill, Married with Children, Al Bundy. It's like these are the dads that are, oh, it's just that they're checked out. The wife runs the show. King of Queens, she bosses him around all the time. He's just kind of emasculated and, just does his job, and he's kind of more the ATM than the leader. That's what's kind of been preached down to us for a while, and I think we need to just take that narrative back. It's nonsense. Like, it's
We
really nonsense.
absolutely need to take that. It is nonsense. We absolutely need to take that back. And that's why it's so good to have guys like you who are taking the narrative back.
Right back at you, my man.
We need men who can say, hey, you know what? I'm going to lead my family. We're going to do some good things. We're going to learn to be brave. We're going to have devotionals. We're going to lead spiritually in our home. We're going to lead physically in our home. We're going to lead emotionally and mentally.
That's right.
Teach our kids things and act as the CEOs of our children's education. It's not, we're just going to leave it to our wife or leave it to the government or leave it to some other third party. Like, now, as a CEO, you can still outsource. You can say, hey, I do want my kids to go to a particular school, but it might not be the public school. Maybe you could say, hey, we're going to go to a different school because I don't feel good about that. Or we're going to get a charter school or a private school, or we're going to homeschool. But you're going to step up and lead and say, you know what? My children's education, the buck stops with me. And one of the best things I can do is what you talked about, which is be an example.
Right.
And I love that you're modeling that.
Yeah, amen, man. I always say we need probably two things now more in society than ever for men, and that's truth and courage. So we have to, it's okay to speak truth. Not everything is gray. There are things that are just evil and wrong, and we need to call them out as men and stand against those. And sometimes that takes courage. I mean, there's no bigger example for me. If COVID didn't change the way you view things, I don't know where you've been, right? Like, I'll never forget them trying to make my children wear face diapers and not talk to each other and not play at parks. And I see this going on a few years ago, and this is how I kind of blew up a little on Twitter early, because I would videotape myself walking with my kids down to the park, and we would all tear the tape down. They had caution tape. Do not enter around our park. It's open air in the sun. And they told us we couldn't play. And I just remember sitting my kids down, and my daughter was like 7. And I'm like, we don't follow that. We don't do that. If other people want to be sheep and listen to that, we're going to play outside. We're human beings. We're free, sovereign human beings made in the image of God, and we play outside. So we would every day go to the tape and rip down the caution tape. And I can't tell you how many times, even being at a store, and like a guy would see me without a mask, and he'd be like, dude, yeah, man. And he'd rip his off, you know? And it just, I don't know. I remember going to the gym early on, and they told me I had to wear a mask in the gym. And I said, hey, brother, I respect where you're coming from. I'm not going to wear a mask. I'm going to go lift weights. If you need to call the cops or do whatever you need to do, that's fine. I'm a free human being. I'll make my choices. You make yours. And it's just like having some truth and some courage to see there's right and wrong. Like, look, if a preacher went to a public school and tried to talk about Jesus, they'd probably have him arrested. But in some of these same places, they're sending drag queens and nobody says anything. You're telling me all the dads are okay with that? Like, it's time to go show up and say something and call this nonsense out. And like, we can't be passive anymore. And that was one of your, I think your third point was to preside and be a leader. And there's too much passivity among men. And it doesn't mean we need to be jerks. We can be kind about things, but there is right and wrong, and there is a time to stand up. And I think we're far past that point in our society.
Yeah, it is time now. It was time before, but it is now time more than ever for men to step up and say, you know what, that's not happening in my school. And if you want to, and here's the truth, the government does not own our children. Like, and you made a point about that. There are people out there, there are schools out there that say, we can keep secrets from you. We can have your kid be involved in all these really morally questionable things. And if you try to step in, we'll accuse you of being abusive. I've got to tell you, dads, right now, it is time for every dad hearing this to be brave, like Tyler's saying, to step up and say, we are the protectors of our children. So Tyler, I'm so grateful you're saying that. There's stuff that's just plain wrong. It's not gray. It's just plain black and white in some situations, right?
That's right, man. And we have to call it out. And I think, you know, it's like that domino effect. It's my favorite video ever on YouTube is this music festival where one guy goes by himself and he just starts dancing crazy. And everybody's kind of looking at him. I don't know if it's like Sasquatch Music Festival. It's like 16 years ago. And for a minute, everybody's looking crazy at him. Like, what are you doing? And then the next guy goes and he starts dancing. They start having a great time. And everybody's still kind of looking. And then the third and then the fourth. And 2-3 minutes later, there's 10,000 people dancing, having the greatest time of their life because this one guy had the courage to go first and just let loose. And I think sometimes you got to be that point, right? Like, you got to be the dad that says, hey, I'll go in and volunteer at school. It's usually moms, but hey, I'll put myself in there and I'll make sure things are going right and invite some other dads to come do it. And, you know, so we just got to go first. We got to have those guys that go first, and then other people will come along.
So grateful there's dads like you, Tyler, who are helping this movement along, saying, let's start dancing, so to speak, figuratively, so that we can get the rest of the dads going. It's time. It's time right now. You know, Winston Churchill said something like this. He said, "Oh, you've got enemies? Well, that's good because you stood up for something for once in your life, right? I mean, it's okay to stand up and maybe people don't like you. That's okay. And we need to be that example anyway."
If everybody likes you, you're doing something wrong, man. The guy I follow that lived 2,000 years ago named Jesus, not everybody liked him. If you didn't know this, they nailed him to a cross, right? And so I do think, man, if everybody likes you, there's a problem in that. And you should stand for right and wrong, and you should be okay with offending certain people. I don't want to be liked by certain people. If I am liked by those people, then I'm not being true to myself. I'm not being true to my creator. I'm not honoring the things I should honor, right? And so, yeah, if everybody likes you, man, I kind of tend to think that's a problem.
So good to have brave men like you say that and mean it. So, you know, Tyler, I know you run some men's groups. You're a coach. How can people get a hold of you and tell us a little bit more about what you do?
Yeah, so I kind of fell into this, man. Again, I was managing a bank and I started posting a lot of this stuff on Twitter back in the day. Now it's X. And just started building a following. And I had a couple of dads reach out and say, "Hey, man, can you coach me?" I didn't even know what that meant. I didn't set out to be a coach or do anything, but I remember this. I said, "Well, we can hop on a call and I'll charge you," at the time, I charged $25. "We can hop on an hour call, right?" It's about what I made at the bank during the time or whatever. And so I just started kind of giving them some directions and stuff like that. It's sort of evolved along the way. Now I run a men's group where I've got 50, 55 guys. We call it the Arena. We're actually hosting a conference out here in Vegas in 3 weeks. We have New York Times bestselling author Sahil Bloom coming out to speak, Harrison Savior Sons, some just really great, strong men that are going to come out. We'll be doing ice baths and hikes, and it'll be an active conference. So I run a couple of those things every year and retreats and getaways. But yeah, a lot of that, man, I book one-on-one coaching calls with dads and guys and just help them align that vision of, I think if every guy closes their eyes, they can see that best version of themselves. But often it just gets watered down. And we use the excuses of I'm too busy, work, jobs, bills, chores, why, all the things, right? And I've really had a passion and a knack for helping guys get unlocked in the same way that I was. At 34 and a half, man, again, I was 20 pounds overweight, hadn't been to the gym in a couple years. Eating like crap, watching pornography, watching Netflix every night, addicted to things I shouldn't have been addicted to. And it was one flip of the switch that just completely changed my life and then my family's life after that. And I know every guy has that in him. And so if you feel like you're living a watered down version, man, if you can't flip the switch on your own, reach out to me. I'll light a fire on you.
That's so awesome. And let you know that event that you're having here in a few weeks. That sounds awesome. So tell us a little bit more about that, about how people can get involved in this awesome event you have.
Yeah, this will be, I think, the 13th event I've hosted, man. And again, this started pretty organically with a couple guys I'd coached had said, "Ty, could we come out to Vegas?" One guy's name was Dr. Neil, I'll never forget. And he said, "Can you just put a few guys together that are like me, that want to be great dads, husbands, leaders, get in better shape, all these things, and host a live event?" So I did. I just invited four or five guys out. We got an Airbnb. We took some fun hikes out here, lifted, and just chatted life a lot. This will be the 13th one. It's the biggest one. I believe we have 45 people coming now. And so, man, it's really active. We'll be doing some cool hikes again, ice baths, breath work. I'm bringing in different people to teach different things. And we got four or five really great speakers. Should be a really powerful event, man. I think we still have a couple spots left. So if anybody's watching this, it's August 28th, 29th, and 30th, right out here in Vegas. Not like the Strip Vegas. This will be a little different kind of thing, more like out in the national parks of Vegas area. But yeah, reach out on X.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Tyler, is there one last thing you would leave with dads today? Any dads who are listening today, anything that you feel, hey, this is the one thing I want you to remember because you'll listen to the podcast today?
Yeah, I think the biggest question I always get in my DMs from dads is just, how do I lead? Or how, my kids seem to ignore me. They're on iPhones too much. Or I come home and the family's just kind of doing their own thing. How do I reset that? And I always say, man, just lead yourself first and invite without expectation. Just take a genuine interest in what everybody's like. I've invited my kids for walks before and they didn't come, and I still go take the walk. I invite my wife some nights when the kids go to bed. I'm like, "Hey, I'm gonna go up and do 5, 10 minutes of breath work and a devotional, read the Bible. You wanna come?" Some nights she's like, "Man, I'm touched out. I just need 30 minutes to myself. No, I'm good." I don't then say, "Okay, well, she's not doing it, so I guess I'm not." I still go do the things myself. So lead yourself. And the best way I know how to lead yourself is surrendering to God and letting Him lead you. And then you can effectively lead yourself and then just keep inviting without expectation. You might ask your wife on a couple dates. You might try and go, we haven't been on dates in a while. And she, oh, we can't leave the kids, this or that. Just keep telling her, well, don't we want our kids to have this kind of marriage someday? Well, we need to model that. Just be super intentional, craft that vision for your life. And again, we all have that version of ourselves. It's the best version. Get it on paper. Write down that guy you're going to be. Write down a couple small changes that you're going to make every single day and then just walk it out. Again, have that integrity to yourself that you talked about earlier.
I love that. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
Well, Tyler Tote, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. We'll have the ways to connect with Tyler in the show notes for those of you who are driving or listening. And for those of you listening, those of you dads or moms anywhere, we need a movement right now of dads who will stand up, who will be brave, who will lead and protect and provide and be examples to their children and families. Our civilization depends on it. We need it. We need good guys like Tyler all over the planet, all over the world to step up. And we pray you will. Thanks for joining us today. This is Xane Anderson. Tyler, thank you for being on the podcast with us today and for your wisdom.
It was an honor, and I appreciate all that you put out and do, my man. Looking forward to what you're doing in the future. As we were talking a little before the show, I think you got some huge things coming up too, man. So super fired up and grateful to be here, man. Thanks again.
Thanks, Tyler. Have a great day.